Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're going to be joined by a special guest, Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio out of Chicago. She'll join us to give you the update on what's happening, not only with the Bears, but the entire NFL playoff picture as the wild card round has concluded. And maybe the biggest winner ends up being in-state here with your Houston Texans. Dominant fashion last night. Destroying the Steelers, a fumble, a six by Sheldon Rankins, and then a pick six to make it a laugher. So far today, the reaction has been Mike Tomlin resigned as Steelers head coach. That news came down about 2 hours ago, sending shockwaves through the NFL and expanding out this head coach cycle story significantly more. I don't know. Do you guys think they can get something for Mike Tomlin in a trade? How much would you desire bringing in Mike Tomlin as compared to other candidates out there? And, you know, what could that be worth for the Steelers? I think if it's, you know, Sean Payton level compensation, that could be a significant boost to their rebuild. We got Carmen ready to rock. We got, okay, Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio, joining us now here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon, Carmen. How the heck are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How would you answer that question we were just talking about there with Mike Tomlin? Do you think the Steelers can get something in a trade for him?
I mean, stranger things have happened. I don't know about Sean Payton level compensation, but I believe that, I mean, there's been kind of low-key sixth, seventh round kind of compensation that we've seen for coaches kind of across the league that either take a break from coaching for a year and come back like, you know, Sean Payton did, or, you know, going right into it. I don't know. I think that he's well respected around the league, never had a losing season, obviously. That's got to be worth something to a franchise that's been struggling to find that kind of success.
Yeah, 19 years, an incredible run there coming to an end for Mike Tomlin, at least in Pittsburgh. Their early reports are maybe he's going to look to do media for at least 1 year. But how are things going into Chicago? Are people now believing that this thing can happen there with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and the Bears?
It's so funny because anytime a high-profile coach in the years past has become available, you know, you hear whispers around Chicago like, ooh, what do you think it would take for the Bears to get him? Do you think the McCaskies would pay for that? Do you think this, that, the other? This is the first time, guys, that that is not the case whatsoever. Everybody's like, nope, we got our guy. We're really happy with our guy. Y'all have fun in the coaching carousel. We're not on it this year.
What do you think is the best thing that Ben Johnson upgraded?
Honestly, there's so many things just from the ground up, and it sounds kind of cliche to say the culture, but he's brought this attitude into the building that hasn't existed before, and an expectation and a standard. He's a psycho, and I say that with love in my heart, guys. Guys really respond to him, and he's turned this team and this organization into one that is now known for its physicality at the line of scrimmage on the field, known for its belief in each other with these crazy fourth quarter comebacks. And there's an extreme attention to detail just in every facet of the building that it's a level of competency that the Bears have not had in a very long time as someone who has covered this team and watched this team all her life.
Have you purchased a good, better, best shirt?
I have not. I have not. That's not for my doing. I'm not going to show up in the media room of Hallis Hall or any other team, by the way, that I have to go visit with a good, better, best t-shirt. But I can promise you they are littering the streets here in Chicago. I mean, everybody, especially on game day, you walk down the street, you're going to Target, you're going to get a coffee. Everyone's in Bear stuff.
It's awesome. I mean, it was so fun to watch Soldier Field and the reaction to that comeback win and the Bears-Packers rivalry now. It's been fantastic, but the health of the team moving into round two hosting the Rams, the T.J. Edwards injury, Ozzie Trapillo, the left tackle. How are you looking ahead to this Rams matchup and how they can maybe mask some of that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it when T.J. Edwards was out during the season. This is a very flawed defensive unit, right? And a lot of it has been kind of masked by these takeaways. Bears led the league in the regular season in takeaways. But it's not a very cohesive unit. And when T.J. Edwards was out, the run unit, the run defense unit, really, really struggled without him kind of being the point person in the middle. So You do have a guy in DeMarco Jackson that has some experience now stepping into that role. And he has done well when he's been, you know, in relief of TJ. But I still think that's kind of a blow to, again, a defense that is still very flawed. And then when you talk about Ozzie Chipillo, you know, he had really come on pretty strong towards the end of the season. They had tried to make the switch from right to left for him in training camp. It didn't go well, which is why he didn't start the season at that place. But for whatever reason, whether it was more mental reps, more physical reps in practice, he was able to kind of take over and like towards the end of the season and play some really solid ball at that left tackle position. So I know they brought up Braxton Jones from IR, but that is a guy that failed to win that position outright in training camp. He was firmly in the battle for that before he got injured. So it's going to be interesting to see, but you also have the best possible escape artist under center and Caleb Williams that, you know, and I know Ben Johnson also, he leans on that jumbo package. He brings out extra protection. He very much prioritizes the offensive line scheme and the blocking scheme. So I think they'll be okay. But this Rams team, man, they've got a hell of a defensive front and they've got a pretty complete offense starting with that veteran in Matthew Stafford that can score some points on you.
Carm, if you had to play the first half or the second half better, which one are you going to play? You're going to play one half well. Just kind of which one do you want?
If you're going to play one half well, it sure as heck better be the second half, and that's been the Bears' MO. In fact, it hasn't even been the second half. It's literally been the fourth quarter. That being down 21-3, man, to the Packers, I still didn't believe that they were going to come back despite everything I'd seen in the regular season until McManus missed that 44-yard field goal, and I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports here with you. It looks like the Bears have done a pretty good job limiting, you know, the motion offenses from exploiting them with that eye candy. If you're looking for reasons to believe they could slow down McVay.
Yeah, I mean, you've got guys like Tremaine Edmonds in the middle of the field. You've got some ball hawks with Kevin Byard in the safety and Jaquan Brisker as safeties in the backfield that have played a lot of ball, that are very good players, and yeah, they're not going to be necessarily fooled by that. Not to mention, the Bears actually, and this isn't the case in with every team, but in practice, they have a period every single day where the ones go against the ones. And you know what other offense runs a lot of motion and does a lot of window dressing and eye candy? Ben Johnson's offense. Mm-hmm. So this defense is very well equipped to go against a team like that, because they've been doing it all season. And again, I have to stress, that's not the case for a lot of teams where you get these periods of the ones going against the ones. It's usually the offense going against the scout team defense and the defense going against the scout team offense. That's not always like that. The Bears have made a concerted effort. Ben Johnson has made a concerted effort to make sure that his defense can defend his offense. So I think that's going to help them in this case, but I do think that the Rams, with all the experience and with the ways that McVay evolves his offense and evolves really the offense in the entire league as a tastemaker in that way, it's going to be a challenge.
Carm, it seemed like they were going after Kyler Gordon that game the other day. Is his health been a big question mark? I know coming back, I think he was banged up a little bit, but where is he at with the nickel situation?
Yeah, that's been kind of a real big inconsistency this season, where even when they tried to bring him back earlier in the season, he lasted a game, got re-aggravated the injury, and then he was out, and that was all very last minute, and it kind of threw Dennis Allen's unit for a loop. So he, for all intents and purposes, you know, he's been out for a while, and this game against the Packers, he came back, but you know, you're shaking the rust off. You're trying to trust yourself again. That's hard to do in season in a playoff environment. Yeah. So I think the Packers were right to absolutely try to attack that area of the field. And I think that the Rams will do the same thing. I think health-wise, he's okay. But it's more, you guys know, it's more than just the physical, like, health. It's, hey, do I trust myself, especially when you've suffered multiple setbacks this season? How much is that in the back of your mind as you're playing? And that's the question.
Is Colston Loveland, the rookie tight end, is he like now the focal point of the passing attack?
Yeah, him and Caleb Williams' relationship has just blossomed beautifully. And, you know, Rome Odunze missed a few games at the end of the season. I think that's when you really saw Caleb be like, all right, this is my guy. And tight ends can always be kind of those safety blankets four quarterbacks, and that's why Ben Johnson likes to use them so much. But what's different, I think, about Colston Loveland is just how natural his hands are, how natural of a receiver he is. In those goal line situations, those low red zone situations where Ben Johnson likes to kind of load up the line, be a little bit more physical, put some extra blockers out there, you're going with those jumbo personnel, those big bodies, and you're putting two, three tight ends on the field. Usually you have to then sacrifice receivers for that. But when you have a guy like Colston Loveland who can catch like a receiver, run routes like a receiver, that really presents so many mismatches for a defense trying to defend that. And that's how Colston Loveland's been used. And I mean, we've seen him all over the field. We've seen him split out wide, go down the field, be that downfield target. This guy can do everything. And I'm old enough to remember when everybody chastised the Bears for not taking Tyler Warren. And at the time I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust the guy that drafted and developed Sam Laporta in Detroit. I know that he knows what he's looking for in the tight end position, and he hit a home run, as Caleb Williams said it after the game on Saturday night. He hit a home run with Colston Loveland.
Hand raised, Carm. I was chastising. I was a big Tyler Warren fan, but boy, has Ben Johnson had a plan for Colston Loveland. I'm glad that's worked out. So from a Cowboys perspective, I know we've talked with you previously about Matt Eberflus. Well, that did not go well for us over here. What's some of the buzz you're hearing around the league as the defensive coordinator search continues, but also in relation to all this head coaching shakeups across the league?
Yeah, I mean, you have some defensive guys, right, that are going to be available. It's a matter of, are they going to be looking at head coaching positions? Because what's been interesting over the last couple of cycles now is, you know, where it used to be that everybody was going after the offensive guy, I think you've seen an uptick in organizations hiring these defensive guys for the head coaching position, trusting them to hire, you know, the up and coming offensive coordinator and make things work in that way. So I think there's a lot more competition when you're talking about trying to fill a defensive coordinator position, because a lot of these guys are getting head coaching looks, whereas maybe that wasn't the case a few years ago. So I'm all for it. I am a defensive girl. I did grow up in Chicago, after all, so I didn't have a whole lot of offense. This is all new to me for the Chicago Bears. So I'm a huge proponent of getting that defensive hire right and maybe even making him your head guy. So it'll be really interesting for the teams like the Cowboys that have defensive coordinator openings. I think you're going to have to wait a little bit to see who's actually going to be on the market and who is going to be getting these head coaching looks.
As somebody that grew up in Chicago, what else can you tell us about this Bears-Packers rivalry? Like, I'm just getting a full, I think, a better context and appreciation of it.
Yeah, guys, it's honestly, I mean, I'm biased, but I've always called it the best rivalry in the four North American, major North American sports. It's just, it's so all-encompassing. It's so all-consuming for the city, and it's been so lopsided my entire life. I mean, I watched the Green Bay Packers go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, then to Jordan Love. I watched, you know, them win the Super Bowl. I watched and covet that success that hasn't been achieved here in Chicago in 40 years. So it's been kind of a big brother, little brother thing, which is ironic given how small Green Bay is as an actual city and how big Chicago is. But man, I mean, you've seen the way that Ben Johnson has bought into the rivalry. You've seen the way the players have bought into the rivalry. And that's so rare these days just because of how fluid these teams are in their construction, how much coaches get hired and fired. It's like, how do you take that stance when you're part of this coaching brotherhood, right? And it really all has to do with the McCaskey family, you know, formerly the Hallis McCaskey family, that has just prioritized winning against Green Bay above almost everything else other than a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the first thing George McCaskey will tell you. I've had conversations with George myself where I had gotten back from Italy last year and I saw him at Combine and he asked me how to say Green Bay sucks in Italian. And I'm not proud of this, but I don't know that I told him the right word because I didn't know sucks. I knew the word above sucks.
Okay.
So I kind of taught him how to say that, but this is what you're dealing with in Chicago, and it's so cool that it's now a real rivalry and there's actual stakes involved. The city, I mean, that's why Soldier Field was shaking on Saturday night. The press box, the water bottles were all going crazy. I mean, it was such a cool environment because not only was it the playoffs, it was the Green Bay Packers, and everybody wants to beat the Green Bay Packers here.
Well, Carm, you're going to get that matchup, Super Bowl, you and New England. Get ready for it.
Did you see me tweet that?
Absolutely,
I did.
You're a great follow, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been saying that very quietly, like whispering when I knew the Bears were making the playoffs. I'm like, watch the Packers and the Bears end up in the Super Bowl on the 40th anniversary of Super Bowl 20. And now I'm like, oh, my God, is this going to happen?
I love it, Carm. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the ride up there.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Cheers. Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio, here with you in the G-Bag Nation on the Fan Chief.
Did she say it?
I think she did.
I think she did, too.
She was talking about the quarterbacks.
Mama gave me 11 flap chicks, and Mama take away 5 of them flap chicks, so I'll stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.